Today, since it is Gaudete Sunday, I would like to spend some time with you getting ready. I'm trying to figure out how to say it. Getting ready to have a decent, that's not a good word. A worthy attitude, I guess worthy would be good, attitude towards Christmas. Now, let me explain what I mean. I have for years and years been very, what should I call it, very troubled by the season of Advent. And the reason I've been troubled by the season of Advent is because there always seems to be a contradiction. The season of Advent is billed by the church as it's included as a penitential season, a season of penance. Now the church, the liturgical year, has two penitential seasons, and the two penitential seasons are placed right before the season of joy and celebration. So, John, or can you get me a cough drops? Somebody get me a cough drop. John's going to do it. My allergies are just, the penitential seasons are always before the season of joy. So, for example, right now we're in the penitential season of Advent. And the Advent penitential season is 4 weeks long. And the penitential season before Easter is, of course, Lent, which we start with Ash Wednesday. By the way, just a quick Catholic trivia. Let's see. This is a parenthesis. Lent is supposed to be 40 days, right? Thank you, John. Thank you. Lent is 40 days. Well, if Lent is 40 days, it's basically 6 weeks long. Six times seven is what? 42. And then you count Ash Wednesday, Good Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday. And you add four more days, so you get 46? Okay? So how come when you count them, it's supposed to be 40, and you count, and you get 46. I'm not asking you to raise your hands. You know why? Because Sundays are not part of Lent. So this Lent, when you start doing the penance, you can never count Sundays, because the church never counts the day of the Lord's resurrection as a day of penance. So there's your Catholic trivia. So, today I was telling you that I'm always conflicted a little bit, because think about what's happening in our society right now. I mean, everybody, things, especially 2 weeks before Christmas, the church has got lights up. It's a penitential season, but we got decorations up. We got little lights everywhere. Everybody's kind of cheery and stuff like that. And the word penitential comes from the word penance, which means to do repent. And it's not supposed to be a time of tremendous joy and laughter. And so today what I'd like to do is to reflect on on two words that are in the Mass. In the Mass, right after the priest says the Our Father, the priest says after the Our Father, and before you say, "For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever," the priest says this: "Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil, and grant us peace in our day, so that by the help of your mercy we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we wait in joyful hope for the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ." Now, the two words that I'd like to reflect on are joyful hope. But I just wanted to bring them up right at the beginning and compare them to some of the other words that we use for Christmas. Because the words joyful hope, I think, are correct. But the other things that we use for Christmas, I don't know. I'm not particularly enthralled with them. Let me go through some of these. For example, what is the thing that we always say to people when you meet them at Christmas? You say, "Merry Christmas." By the way, I'm not even taking into account Happy Holidays. Okay, I'm just not even going there. Okay, by the way, if you say Happy Holidays, you should spell holidays as H-O-L-L-Y and then another word, D-A-Z-E, because it is a holly days. Okay, if you're going to use holiday instead of doing that, try spooking people. And you know how you spook people? You say Happy Holy Days and emphasize the word holy instead of holly. Happy Holy Days. You can say that even to Jewish people or to anybody, okay? But you're maintaining the religious character of what's going on. But let's put that aside. What is it that most of us say? We say Merry Christmas. Now, the word Christmas, you should know, but maybe you don't. Christ, of course, me, it's a shortened word for Christ. But Mass, Christmas. Mass comes from the word missio, where we get the word mission, which means to come forward, to be sent, to move. And so Christmas is Christ's coming forward and moving forward, coming into the world. So that's normal. But what about Mary? So I've never particularly cared for the word Mary, okay? But I looked it up in the dictionary, and several dictionaries, and what I got was this: cheerful, lively, an occasion, characterized by festivity, informally, slightly, and good-humoredly drunk. That's Mary. Now, I don't think that that's a very good wish. I think that when you are... See, what's happening with Christmas, what always happens with Christmas, is that we dumb it down. Christmas is basically an Easter. I mean, think about it. In Christmas and Easter, what happens is society finds the whole notion of why we really rejoice, why we're in church rejoicing. And so what do? We get happy. We get merry. We get merry and we invent stuff, like we invent a fat guy that comes and gives you presents. And we invent reindeer, and it's all one humongous make-believe. Now, you might say, well, Father, it's the spirit of the season. I can understand that, but what's the spirit of the season? What does it mean? I've never been a man who likes to rejoice or who likes to say stuff that I don't know what it means. And if I say Merry Christmas, do I really mean something about Christ, or am I talking about Santa Claus? And I have a hunch that the majority of people are talking about Santa Claus and getting together with family. I hear this in TV all the time. What's Christmas really about? And you know what people say? It's about family, you know. It's about gathering with your loved ones. Now, I don't have a problem with that, but that's not what Christmas is about. Christmas is about Christ. But that's a little too much. Can you imagine having to cope with the reality of the God of the universe becoming human? Can you imagine if you really believed that, how that would change your life? If all of a sudden the creator of humanity came and became human and showed us what it was like to be human the way God intended. Because you know what the incarnation is, basically? Basically, the incarnation is God saying, y'all have screwed this up so badly that if you want something done right, you do it yourself. I understand that what happened at Christmas is God was so sick of watching the mess we have made, and he basically said, I'm coming down there. I'm going to show you what I had in mind when I created you. I'm going to be human so that you can see what a normal human being is supposed to look like. Jesus is the only normal human being. The only normal. We think we're normal because we're all screwed up in the same way. You know, I look at myself and I go, man, I'm screwed up. I look at you and go, hey, you're screwed up too. And we go, hey, we're normal. We're normal because we're all screwed up in the same way. Well, that's not the point. The point is, we're not normal. We are freaks. We are spiritual freaks. I was talking to the young people the other day. We have about 40, 50 kids on retreat this weekend. I was there yesterday. And I was talking to them about judgment. And at judgment, I said, I think what God's going to do is he's going to look at you and you're going to see yourself the way you really are, not your body, yourself. And God's going to superimpose upon you the you that you were supposed to be. And you're going to notice the difference between the you that you decide you became by your own decisions and the you that you were supposed to be in understanding. And when you see that, you're going to freak out. And then God is going to, when you see the difference, God's going to say, you want me to finish? That's purgatory, by the way. When God says to you, you're not exactly the way I want you to be. Can I help? Can I finish you? You won't ever do it against your will. Can I finish you so that you become in the image of my son, who was the only normal human being? Because see, you guys are basically man-made humans. Insofar as you and I are human beings that have not gotten close to God and tried to be like normal human beings, like Jesus, we basically are spiritual Frankensteins. You know, who is Frankenstein? Frankenstein is a man-made man. That's what a Frankenstein is. And what we are when we come faith with God and we have decided to be who we want to be and not who God wants us to be, we basically are spiritual Frankensteins. And the whole point of Jesus is that he became one of us so he could show us what a normal human being was like, and that you could try with his help to allow yourself to be reformed. Now, we use the word saved, but rescued or reformed, because literally your insides have to be reformatted to be normal. Now, so what is this whole notion of joyful hope as we wait in joyful hope for the coming of our Savior Jesus Christ? Why are we waiting in joyful hope? Because if Jesus had not come, we would be condemned for eternity to be monstrosities. All right, think about it. Frankenstein is a man-made man. Spiritual Frankensteins are spiritual monsters. If Jesus had not come, not only to show us what a normal human being is, but to help us with the grace of the Holy Spirit to be transformed into him, into his character, then we would be condemned for eternity to be spiritual monstrosities. That's why we have joyful hope. Why? Because when we see Jesus coming, and that's what we're celebrating these days, we're preparing for the December 25th when the church decided to place the birthday of Jesus for the incarnation. And on that day, we remember that we have been rescued. We have been rescued. We were like men and women drowning. And all of a sudden, in the distance, you see a ship. And you start in joyful hope because you have the possibility of being rescued. We use the word salvation, which I'm starting not to like. I know it's a biblical word, but you know, it's salvation is, you know, because so many people are going, are you saved? Are you saved? And that's become such a superficial word. It's more, are you cooperating with the rescue operation that God has launched? Because God, in the incarnation and in choosing Israel, God launched a rescue operation for humankind. And that is why we rejoice. Mary is not a good word. How about rejoice? I think joy is a lot deeper word than Mary. I think joy is a way of a depth. See, do you know where the word happy comes from? The word happy is the root of the word is H-A-P. And hap is the root that also forms the word happens. It happens. Or it's a happenstance. It's something that just happened. That is not what we're talking about in Christmas. It's not happy. Rejoice is a joy, is especially when you link it with hope, joyful hope. It is a sense of depth, of happiness that is beyond the word happy. It is deeper. And it is something that you know it's not just happy birthday. It's a joy of being saved, of being rescued. And so this Christmas, all I wanted to do is, I want you to encourage you to rejoice. Happy is, and merry, but rejoice, that's a deeper sense, and especially when you use it in joyful hope. Listen to the way it says, as we wait in joyful hope for the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. As we wait in joyful hope for our rescue, folks, we're drowning. If you haven't, I just had lunch right now with a man who is very sick with cancer. And we were talking about how do you say goodbye to your friends. And one of the things we were talking about is, per se, I told him that, I said, we shouldn't be jealous of other people saying, oh, I've got cancer and you don't. Now, you're going to get something soon. Two, you're going to die. And on that day that you get your diagnosis, if you're lucky enough to get diagnosed, or you get hit by a truck, or you have a heart attack or something, one way or another, you're going, because there's not a single one of us getting out of this world alive. Right? So on that day, you're going to be either despairing or rejoicing. You're not going to be happy. You're not going to be merry, but you can be joyful. As the saints were, sometimes the saints in the New Testament, the martyrs, people talked about them being joyful even as they faced persecution, because joy can exist in the midst of suffering. And so I just want to encourage you this year, pay attention. Pay attention to the joy. Pay attention to why you are rejoicing. Pay attention to the fact that you're in trouble. And unless we get rescued, we're up the creek. And if we have rescued, and if we see far away the coming of our rescuer, that is a reason to rejoice. So when you say Merry Christmas, I would encourage you not to say it. Say Blessed Holy Days, or if you have to use Happy, Happy Holy Days, or Merry Holy Days if you have to use it. But don't let the holy be left out of Christmas. Don't let Christmas become a daze, because a lot of us do that. So as we approach Christmas, may all of you, as we prepare for in joyful hope for the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ, for the coming of the holy days.